This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is iFanboy Special Edition, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
DTB, that's a slap.
Rich city stunner, big dog, move militant. Cold as the winter, but my chick like the summer. Get hello, limoncello, it's gonna take me to the summit. Mellow with the steez, and you know how I'm coming. I just copped a P of the finest. I'm on an all-green diet, politicking with suppliers on a PJ with a wow. Oh, I thought it was allowed. Can a player blow it down? Love, I promise it's loud. Through the smoke clouds. Dropping gems and I stay away from clowns. And I'm really him.
Hello, welcome to my Fanboy Special Edition Black Panther Wakanda Forever. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I am here with Josh Flanagan.
Hey there.
And our old co-host and pal, Paul Montgomery.
That's me.
And we're here to talk about Black Panther Wakanda Forever. There'll be spoilers. Here's your official spoiler warning. This is the latest Marvel Studios film, Marvel Cinematic Universe. It is the sequel to the incredibly popular Black Panther, Oscar nominated for Best Picture Black Panther film. Ryan Coogler is back as writer-director, and he wrote the screenplay, co-wrote it with Joe Robert Cole, and it stars basically everybody from the original film, except, of course, minus Chadwick Boseman, sadly, and we're going to get to all that, but we have returned to Wakanda. I mean, it's so funny, after years and years of all, it felt like it was a Marvel movie every 3 months, I couldn't even remember the last Marvel movie I was in when I saw this.
It was Thor.
You're right. I'd forgotten about it. That movie came and went out of my brain.
It's because it was replaced by the wonderful, prestigious Black Adam. The most important.
There's been this whole thing in my family about going to see Black Adam. And it was like, every once in a while, Liz would be like, hey, should we go see that? And all of us are like, no.
Actually, your kids might really like that one.
They're not interested, though.
I know, but it's probably more up their alley than this was. So, let's just dive in. There's a lot to talk about. We don't have a ton of time, so let's do it. Let's just jump into it. I think let's start in a sort of a general discussion. I'm really actually really excited to talk to you guys about this. First of all, I like talking to you guys about anything, really. But I want to figure out my feelings on the movie through this conversation because I came out of it of two minds. Number one, Ryan Coogler is an incredible director. I think I've seen all but one of his films. And they were terrific. He's got a wonderful eye. He stages action really in an interesting way. He's a good writer.
Great and use I think of this Michael is a really B. Jordan.
Well, what's that?
Great use of Michael B. Jordan in all the films.
And he's like that's like his De Niro, right? He's like that's his
Fruit
De Niro
Station. Scorsese. Good shit.
I thought this was a really well made film.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't fun.
That's correct.
Like, I thought I was impressed by a lot of it. I was like, wow, that was really good. I thought, like, a lot of the filmmaking techniques were strong. His use of silence was really strong. but it wasn't a crowd pleaser at all. Like my crowd was, and I had a good crowd. I went on Thursday night, like 5 o'clock. It was mostly full, and I don't think they made any noise except for maybe one or two moments at all. They laughed a couple times at some of the jokes, but for the most part, there was no moment in this film to cheer.
Bring Winston Duke back with the carrot. Come on.
Winston Duke was the only part anybody laughed at anything he said, but
it's great.
I felt like there was no moment of catharsis for the audience. There was no moment to cheer. There was nothing.
Well,
to
it's
really
the very, yeah, the very end is the catharsis.
Right. What I'm saying is there was no like action moment where the Wakandans defeat the enemy and everyone cheers. You know, there was no moment in the film. Everyone pretty much just watched it silently. It felt a little like a 2-hour funeral.
That's what I thought. And I brought my 8-year-old to it, and he never wants to go to movies. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, that's a long
and
film.
Josh, actually, I spent a lot of time thinking about you and your son.
Yeah.
Because I knew you were bringing him, and I was like, oh, God, what does Henry think about this movie?
Well, it was not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. But, like, he's not interested in superhero movies at all. But he'd actually, when he was 4, he went to go see the first Black Panther with me, and he really liked it. And actually, he's, for a kid with ADHD who can't sit still for 10 seconds... he actually did really well. And at one point I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. And he was like, but I want to see what happens. And I was like, oh wow, I'm really proud of that. But I was like, don't worry, it will be perfectly clear because they're showing you everything. I mean, my main thought is very similar to what Connor had said, is that, I don't know if this, I feel like this could be subjective, but it was almost nearly 3-hour in memoriam picture. And it felt like they had to be so reverent of Chadwick Boseman that they couldn't make a fun movie because that they felt they weren't giving him enough praise and respect. And I understand that, but it isn't a hell of a lot of fun to watch. And it's a Black Panther Marvel movie, which is the point and the purpose of it. And so I found that was lacking. It wasn't. And even and there's a perfectly good narrative and societal reason to have it end the way it did, with the sort of detente that happens between Atlantis or whatever it is they called it and Wakanda. And I know what they were going for thematically, but it stretches the boundaries of what I think the purpose of these movies are supposed to be. And I feel really shitty for saying that, but like, if I want to go see a movie about these sort of heavy things, I don't need it to be a Marvel movie. I would see an adult grown-up movie. At least that's how I felt when I was sitting there. And you can... And the last point, though, is just like, regardless of all that, you make those choices, and those are all valid, and you can get away with it. But either way, it needed an enormous tightening up of script and editing, because there was just too much there that did not move quickly. That we were wallowing.
Yeah, it was 2 hours and 40 minutes, and it could have been tightened. Paul, what do you think overall?
I think for me, I think that's overstating how morose it was by a little bit. But otherwise, I agree that it needed to be tightened, or it needed to be 2 movies.
I don't know if I could have done 2 movies.
Maybe introduce Namor. As we're pronouncing it Namor now.
No, we're not.
Okay. No, we're not.
Namor. Maybe introduce Namor somewhere else, because like that ends this, you know, memorial for T'Challa and for Chadwick both is a lot for one movie. And so I felt that it was just biting off a little bit more than it could chew, really. So I ended up being a bit disappointed with it, because I think
the first one's so great.
Yeah, the first one's really great. Uh-huh. That also, I would say and I know you try to avoid trailers when you can. The first trailer, or the teaser trailer that came out for this, I thought was really strong. And I had been a bit down on the past couple of, like, this phase of Marvel movies.
Yeah,
it's not. I felt like the scripts were just this, like, structurally just kind of all like messy. As like, I can pull fun sequences and performances from those movies, but overall, I feel like just the scripts for those movies were not, you know, up to snuff. And when I saw the teaser for this, I was like, oh, thank goodness, you know, Ryan Coogler's back with something, you know, really, really smart and really something to say. And I'm very curious as to how they respond to this very difficult situation that they're in, having to continue this huge franchise without the keystone to it.
And I think that if you want to look at the idea of, like, why is it like this and why did it feel like this is too big, like, you know, they were handed a gigantic shit sandwich. And I don't mean that to be flippant about Bozeman, but, like, if you're a filmmaker and you have to make a Marvel superhero movie, whatever, and this thing happens, and it's not just a Marvel superhero movie because it has a greater weight than that. It was a phenomena among, you know, Black people and non-white people and African Americans and white folks, but you know, it was a thing that had never happened before. $1.4 billion worldwide. It was more than the sum of its parts. And then they had the heart ripped out of it. Then they had to, like, push this thing along into being something else. And there's, like, no right answer. There's, like, I feel like it was Herculean have to make this movie.
So they're put in a, as Josh said, a really bad spot, because not only for all things Josh just said, but also, like, it's their friend, you know, like, so it's not like he died right before making the first Black Panther and they didn't, you know, it's like they've already gone through it with him, and he has some sort of mystical aura around him, clearly, because the audience I was in basically collectively gasped when they flashed his face on screen towards the end. Like, I loved him. I thought he was a great actor.
Obviously, yeah.
And he wasn't in, like, he wasn't around for, like, 20 years. Like, he was relatively, he came and went very quickly, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And whatever that aura he had really affects, like, seems like everyone he meets. The entire cast clearly was affected by this. However, from a business point of view, I don't know how smart it is to attach all these characters to a single actor.
I think you're right, but in this instance, like in most movies, I think you could replace somebody, but you couldn't replace him. And I think
I understand that. I'm just saying, things. Even his brother, Chadwick's brother, said they should have recast him. Like, he said he didn't think that he would have wanted Black Panther to die with him. That kids need this character around, or at least, you know, young boys or whatever.
But it's also so soon, and with the continuity of these movies, it's something different. It's not just, you know, it's.
You're talking about a Marvel Cinematic Universe now that doesn't have Tony Stark and Steve Rogers and T'Challa in it anymore. You know, it's like, and I'm not just Chadwick. I mean, like, I disagreed with killing off all those characters. Like, these characters need to live, and breathe. You can't. What's going to happen in 20 years? We're going to have an Avengers team that's got D-Man and Dr. Druid and Squirrel Girl on it, because all the other actors will stop playing.
Those sound like some great 80s comics, and I feel like you're complaining about it, but I'm not.
Anyway, it was tough. They were in a no-win situation, so they had to make a film that was a tribute to him. But the problem is, it sort of weighed down the entire thing. Now, the first 30 minutes or so might have been my favorite part of the movie. I think Angela Bassett's Ramonda was terrific. And if you told me she was the new Black Panther, I would have believed it.
She's, like, terrific. She's a really powerful performance.
She had that presence. She had the focus and the drive, and you couldn't take your eyes off her on screen. Like, she owned the first part of that movie. And
I had just watched the last season of ER, and I find her insufferable in that. So that's probably my problem.
There is a thing in this movie with baggage that some of the actors have coming into it that also makes this kind of difficult.
It's just as Paul said, there's so much. They introduced Riri Williams, who is the designer of the device that helps find vibranium, which now we find out exists outside of just Wakanda. There's also some in the ocean, which the not Atlanteans use for their technology. They're called the Tacone. No, that's a truck. Not the Tacoma.
It's Talokan is the city.
Right.
And I believe the people are called Talokanil.
Right. That was unfortunate. We'll get to Namor. I think Namor's going to have a whole separate thing. But it just felt like I kept waiting for a moment to really have my heart soar. And it felt like even during the big battle sequences between the Wakandans and the not-Atlanteans, it was never really exciting. It was always sort of... The not-Atlanteans. It was always sort of just kind of a downer. And there was and honestly, the big moment of triumph should have been the new Black Panther, and I don't think it worked at all.
I didn't buy it.
I didn't buy her as Black... I don't buy Shuri as Black Panther. I thought they were setting up Nakia... his ex to be Black Panther because she had the presence also, Lupita Nyong'o.
Or Angela Bassett. They both have a lot.
They both would have been more convincing as a new Black Panther than Shuri. She just doesn't come off as having... And first of all, just Letitia Wright's extremely thin, and so her in the fight scenes with Namor was just like... Even though I know she's got powers now, but it just looked silly, kind of.
It's sort of like she becomes Black Panther out of a process of elimination because she's literally the last person.
And I realize it's a hereditorial line situation.
Right. And but also like
Black Panther, but it just didn't make it didn't work for me as Black. She didn't work.
If you think about her in the first movie,
she was great.
She had swagger and she was excited and she was making new things and like this one, because everything had to be sad, she had to be sad the whole time. And then her other thing was on top of sad. It was the same affliction that is happening in all Marvel comics now, which is, am I good enough to do this? I don't really want to do this. I'm angry. Like you're right. It wasn't triumphant. It was just tons of struggling.
Think about the first film and the swagger that Black Panther had. Like when he would walk around, right. We walked through that casino scene where he was basically like Black James Bond. Like,
but she had it.
He had
too,
a swagger
in
to
her
him.
Way,
and she had it that first movie. She doesn't have it anymore.
And so, like, this whole movie was, what are we going to do without Chadwick Boseman? Everybody. That was every character's point of view. That was the movie's point of view. That was a filmmaker's point of view. That was the script's point of view. And I feel like the movie can't be the question to that. It has to be the answer to that. So, yes, Lupita Nyong'o, who is amazing, when she's on screen, I'm like, put her on more. Or Okoye, like, definitely me. You know, she could have done, like, there's all sorts of things. Or you could have had, like, I'm such a jerk now, I'm writing the movie, but like the League of Black Panthers, you give everybody a fucking suit. All the main characters get a suit. You get M'Baku out there with his big fucking suit. And like just like have like a team of Black Panthers, the family, whatever. But I think you're right. Like she didn't have it. And you didn't want her to. It wasn't... I don't know. Maybe they needed to... It's the schedule. Like they needed to take more time and develop it instead of... But I can't blame them for working out their feelings for the movie. But
I'm not blaming anyone here.
I think
Ryan Coogler did the best he possibly could. You know, they had to rewrite the whole thing.
And, yeah, I mean, he had a draft before Chadwick Boseman passed away, and so it actually there is stuff in here that was from before, and they had to rework it. And there's so many moving pieces that it doesn't feel tight.
I think Riri Williams is great, and I think that she got the short shrift.
Yeah. I agree. Short shrift, because
Dominique Thorne was terrific. I thought.
She's a great introduction, and then once they get abducted, she becomes a cipher, which I kind of felt was a thing with America Chavez in the Doctor Strange movie. Yeah. It's a great performer, but then like the script just doesn't have room for them.
Yeah.
Just because, like, can you believe what's happening? Like,
once the fighting got started, she had her suit and it was everything, and she was just like one of the other people. She was a supporting hand. She was Falcon. And
they took her suit away.
Yeah.
So she can start over again in her own. Right. She's getting a show, right? That's the whole.
Yeah, she has a show.
Yeah. So like, they can start from scratch again on the show. It's just so like, there's a point where the weight of the structure is maybe too much for these movies, where they have they're you know, in the beginning they were all connected, but they were all sort of on their own. Now they're all doing quadruple duty of trying to tell a story, also trying to set up four shows and a sequel. And like, there's so much they have to do now. It's too much.
Talking about obligation, I was comparing notes on the movie with my buddy Brian, and he points out that, you know, after the first movie, there's probably a contract in place that Martin Freeman has to be in the second one.
Right.
So they have to come up with something for him. And every time they go back to America, I was like, why are we, what are we doing here?
He is awesome and needed to not be in this at all.
Yeah.
Anything that involved him and Elaine.
Yeah.
And I love them both as
actors. Yeah, they're great. But like, they don't belong in this movie.
No, it was like, and here's some stuff from the TV shows.
Yeah.
Right. We're not at a TV show. We're in a movie.
You're right, Paul. That's a good 20 minutes we can lose right there. It's cut all the CIA stuff out. It doesn't affect anything that happens in the rest of the plot, really.
No.
You can cut it easily. And, you know, it just doesn't, It didn't ground it in any way. It didn't make it. They've lost something again by removing S.H.I.E.L.D. from the equation because of internal politics. They lost a connective tissue in the universe, which used to be what S.H.I.E.L.D. did. And now they keep trying to replace it with, is it damage control?
So it's like, what is it, CIA? Is it NSA? What? Yeah.
And they try to replace it with these other agencies and it doesn't work. And it's just.
When did Julia Louis-Dreyfus become the boss there? I feel like I missed a thing. Like, she showed up at the end of Falcon Winter Soldier, and now in this, she's like in charge of maybe S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think that's new here.
Yeah, she was Uh-oh. In. Yeah, they never told us what her role was before. She was the shadowy government person. She was in Black Widow, and she was in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. But we never said what she did. And I thought it was going to be some sort of new S.H.I.E.L.D.
situation.
Her first
appearance was supposed to be Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but then Black Widow came out.
No,
it was the other way. Yeah, it's the other way around. Yeah, okay.
They never said what she was until this point, and it was kind of a letdown. It's like, oh, she's just the head of the CIA. That's boring. And I feel like I'm being very hard because, I think there was a lot of artistry, and I think that some of the scenes were really powerful. But as a whole, it just was. It was.
I just think these actors deserve a better movie.
Like, weighted down by the emotion of it, which was a 2 hour and 40 minute downer. Let's talk about Namor.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we wanted to turn things around.
I like how his power is depicted.
100%. That was
fight scenes in the air were awesome.
Yeah, There was a bit where they weren't talking about anything, and you could kind of fuzz your eyes out, and he's flying around and like upright. I was like, oh, that's how he would fly. And I was like, I'm looking at Namor. And I got really excited. But I did spend most of the movie. I mean, I understand why you would want to try to find some sort of historical precedent or something to put around it. You would want to make this movie into some kind of, I don't know, add weight to Namor in a way that, you know, maybe Atlantis on its own wouldn't. I don't know why. Or maybe because they did it in the Aquaman movie. Yeah, all sorts of reasons. Right. Whatever.
There's a couple of things. Yeah, you want to distance it from the Aquaman thing that is doing Atlantis. And then also you could tie it in with Wakanda and it, you know.
But it is still another one of those, like, taking the bits of a character and making the MCU character out of him, and therefore throwing away most of the things that I really loved about that character in the comic books for years. And so I was so excited to see the character that, you know, you could see him fly around and he looked cool. But other than that, he was pretty unrecognizable. And also, even though at the end there was some sort of, like I said, detente that happened, he was pretty unforgivable through the whole thing. And so I didn't get anti-hero. I got, like, you know, angry revolutionary bad guy, you know, who's pretty irredeemable.
Yeah, this guy's not going to seduce Sue Storm.
You can't kill the mom and walk away unscathed from that.
Right. Like, they just sort of let it go that he killed the queen. I was just glad that he lived, because usually they kill off the character, the bad guy at the end, and they realize what a huge mistake they made in the next movie. And so,
yeah, there was a moment there I was like,
I was fully expecting him to die. But Marvel has such a great staple of overconfident, bloviating villains / antiheroes. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they don't want to show that in the films. And now I realize that Kang is going to be a huge disappointment.
Yeah,
because
and for years Kang, I've been saying they need to do Doom and Namor, and I'm like, oh, they should never do Doom. Don't do it. Just don't.
Kang and Doom and Namor, part of their fun is that they are scenery chewing and first person talking. You know, like third person talk. Like, they are so over the top in their own confidence in themselves, and that's always their downfall. And they just, for whatever reason,
swagger with smugness.
They don't want to show that in the movie. They don't want to put that in the movies. And
get that with Doctor Strange.
Right, but they don't want to
do
it with
him. He's an asshole.
Yeah, but he's a good guy.
Right.
I can just tell that's not going to be Kang. And that's like half the fun of Kang. But
I'm hopeful because I really like Jonathan Majors. But
no, he's great. But they, like, even the bit that they briefly saw him in the Ant-Man trailer, I was like, oh, he's soft-spoken. Oh, fuck. But
yeah, you want to see him standing. Well, you want to see all these guys there standing with their chests stuck out
and their fists up in the air.
Okay,
right, or on their hips, just like, ah, you know. And yeah, you're right. It's a really good point. And you know, I've been waiting for Namor, and like, if this character wasn't bad, like it was all done well, but I was like, it's not Namor though.
I realized I have trouble envisioning what the ideal Namor performance is, like in live action. You know what I mean? Like I could see it in like an animated thing, like being very over the top, but like in a live action film where you aren't acting like a Broadway show, like it's difficult for me to picture. But it was also difficult for me to picture in the beginning Thor.
Right.
And yeah, then that's a good example. We ended up getting a really great characterization, but
I think it's similar, like you'd want to take a similar tone to some of the stuff maybe you've seen in like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter movies or something. Like there's a real world that's lived in, but you can have some fun with it.
These guys are Patton, you know?
Yes.
These guys are George C. Scott, who is he is so unbelievably confident in his own abilities that he cannot see past them. And that's the Achilles heel for all these characters. Mm-hmm. Not that it was for Patton, but I'm just saying that's what in the Marvel world. And they, for some reason, tone everyone down. They take everyone's dial and they turn it down. Yeah, maybe he was successful, though. But
To a point, then he was not.
True. They turn everyone's dial down. Namor should be at 11. And I'm not saying he needs to be overacting. He just needs to be supremely confident in himself.
And in that case, he doesn't fit in this movie. And that's fine. But there's a lot of villains.
Yeah.
That exists that maybe fit better. It was like, well, we got to use Namor. Let's put him over here and see what happens. And that you know, that old script trick, you know, put two people in a room and see what happens kind of works, but it just
I like that he looked, I like the look of him.
Yeah.
I was constantly distracted by his nose thing. Because it was so dark at some points and murky. Oh,
that was the other part.
That I was like, is that a nose thing or is that a shadow? Does he have a mole? Like, I couldn't tell what it was for a while. And then I was like, oh, it's a nose thing.
I couldn't see the first third of the movie. I was like, I don't know if it's something wrong with my theater, because it was a shitty theater, but it was so dark. It was like Transformers dark for a long time.
That might have been just your theater.
Yeah. Okay.
It was only the underwater stuff that was murky for me. But
right, okay.
Yeah.
Everything else was fine. When you saw him, I was like, does he have a mole next to his nostril? Is that a shadow? Oh, he's got a nose stud. Like, oh, okay. But he looked fine. You know, he's not like the...
They make the ankle wings work.
They made the ankle wings work. He had almost a flat top. The thing, Namor, for me, is all about hard lines. Like, he is, like, pointy-featured and long and lithe. And that's fine. It's not the comic version. So this is slightly different. Tenochtitlan was good. They tied him into the Mayans. So this sort of brings, which was lacking in the Marvel Universe, was any kind of Latino presence. So this was a way to bring that culture in. They could have still been Atlanteans, but I understand why they wanted to distance themselves from Aquaman.
I thought it was interesting. I wish there didn't have to be the info dump flashback.
We didn't need it. They're just people living under the water.
Just be a little bit more mysterious about it. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. It's tough because, I mean, it's tough.
There's so many ingredients that I think we like, but it's just the way they come together. It doesn't come together. I'm curious. When they first reintroduce Nakia when they go to Haiti, that's where I sort of figured out, that there's a kid we don't know about.
Oh, really?
Okay. Wow.
Something just popped. I was like, they had to take her off the table, but why? And I was like, oh, maybe this. And then, so we get the mid-credits reveal. And that hits differently after watching the first season of House of Dragons. not that I think Shuri is going to go out and try to kill T'Challa Jr.
That also kind of undermined her as Black Panther 2.
Right.
Right? Because...
Yeah,
and it may have been that it was ruined in the trailer, but the moment she lands in the battle in the suit, no reaction from the crowd, zero response. But the introduction of T'Challa's kid, T'Challa, the second, that was the only time the crowd cheered. And it's like, this crowd has already moved past Shuri and wants this kid to suit up. Like that was the reaction that my crowd had. And
yeah,
she already was sort of a lackluster Black Panther, and now you've already got the audience going, so when's the kid going to show? And so she's already now undercut It was a very bizarre way they did it.
I just think it was such like an afterthought in terms of the script itself, her decision to
become
Black Panther. Like, it doesn't feel like a moment. It just feels like, oh, we're doing this because that's what has to happen.
And I think it's because they had no time to, because they had all this other stuff going on. There was no time to focus on her emotional journey and to be taking over for her brother. It was just like, I guess I'm the guy now.
Taking a page from Josh, I'm going to be a dick, and this is what I would do. I would end the movie with the declaration of war. You do the sort of Empire Strikes Back ending where it's, you know, bleak. And if it's going to be morose and bleak, own it. And then have the triumph in the third film where you can actually have a whole film to focus on what should be a huge war, but is in this film, it only ends up being two skirmishes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the basis of the war was stupid.
Right.
It was.
It was.
Help me, or I'll
beat you up.
Beat you up.
I mean, really, that's what it was. And it was like,
help me stop them from looking for.
And it should be awesome. They're battle whales.
They have vibranium too. They were just buses in this movie, my friend. They were not battle whales.
It should have been the fight between the Atlanteans and the Wakandans should have been like any of the other Wakandan battles we've seen. Giant, you know.
No.
In Black Panther and in Avengers, like these giant open warfare situation with Wakandan technology and not Atlantean technology going at it. Instead, it was like a small battle and then a small battle on top of a ship and Namor fighting
Black Panther.
Connor,
what they did is they take all the Wakandans and they put them on a weird shaped boat and they stay on that boat. And then the whole time people climb up the sides and we knock those guys down, but they keep climbing up.
It feels so small. Like, at least make it like three boats.
Something. Jesus. Not just one,
but they couldn't do a big battle in a field again.
No, they could. They do them in hallways. But the thing is, what the Wakandans, who are supposed to be geniuses, decided to do was, hey, these fish people want to kill us.
Let's go in the water.
Let's go on the water. What? That's insane.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, it was tough. There was so much wonderful imagery. I loved the sight of Namor hovering outside of the thing before he kills Ramonda.
I liked some
of the silent stuff they did with the Atlanteans, not Atlanteans, climbing up and attacking, like, was cool.
Yeah, I think he staged action really well. Sort of like horror vibe of attacking the ship at night and just seeing those heads bobbing in the water. Yeah. Like, that's really spooky. And then have, like, the idea of, like, the siren call drawing the sailors out.
That was creepy.
Onto the water.
It was creepy, but it didn't pay off.
No.
They did it once, they did it again, and there was no purpose. And it was too big of a thing.
Well, it was because they tried to do it again in Wakanda, but then they go over the comms and like,
put your earplugs in.
Plug your ears, yeah. So it's...
Don't look up.
Stop listening.
And then the stuff with the beat with Shuri and Riri, like in the lab, and like, we could use a humidifier. Mm-hmm. A dehumidifier, I guess, and like in the ship, and like we'll dry them out. I'm like, yes, that's a solution, but it doesn't feel like they should have a much more complicated, like sophisticated solution.
They landed on the shore of an island. I was like, the water's right there. he can jump, probably. He even cut one of his ankles wings off, but he's really close. And I was like, maybe it's very salty water. I don't know. And like he was like, all right, I'm fighting. Oh shit, I'm getting real tired. And he falls down a foot before the water. Come on.
It was.
I feel bad pointing these things out about it because I think that they were tasked with the Herculean task, and I think it was too many forces pulling in too many directions. And at the end, what they got was a thing that was very heavy and wasn't that fun.
Yeah. That's why I said in the beginning, it's almost like to honor him would have been to recast the role and celebrate T'Challa, a character that clearly meant a lot to him and to the world and to all the little kids that dressed up as Black Panther, instead of taking him off the board.
Just do what they did with Dumbledore. Yeah, you got to replace him with a different person.
They should have had, and then you could have had a real you know, as a way of celebrating Chadwick Boseman and celebrate the character that he brought to the world that everyone mm-hmm. loved, like, do that instead of mm-hmm. spending 2 hours and 40 minutes in essentially a funeral where everyone was sad the entire time and we were sad and the audience was sad and no one was happy. And I was just thinking, about three quarters of it through, I was like, this is not fun.
Yep.
These are supposed to be fun. They don't all have to be the same tone and same fun, but like, at some point, transition to fun. I'm not saying everyone needs to be laughing, cracking jokes, but there should be a moment of triumph.
Something. It's something to look up. Yeah. Everyone was burdened. It was all burdened.
Like, can you imagine seeing this again?
No.
That's the thing. I was like, maybe if I saw it again. I'm like, no, I don't think if I saw it again, I would enjoy it more because there's less pressure on it. Like, that is true of some movies, but with this one, I don't think.
I do wonder if there were some people who culturally this is important for them to go through this process of mourning via cinema. And I will give that to folks if it, you know, that's
I absolutely respect that. And I respect that Ryan Coogler was so close to this that
sure.
It would be unthinkable to recast it.
You know what? Yep. I'm going to do what you guys did. Now it's my turn to rewrite the movie.
Okay.
And this would have been impossible because they made the deadly Marvel mistake. But if you don't kill off Killmonger,
right,
then his character is redeemed by stepping up and saving Wakanda as the new Black Panther.
Right.
And then you have Michael B. Jordan as the new Black Panther. But unfortunately, they did the dumb thing where they constantly kill the villain off, and they killed him off, and it wasn't able to do that. But that is staring them in the face as what they could have done if he hadn't killed him off.
Remind me, did he do anything that was completely irredeemable in the first movie? Did he kill anybody?
He had irredeemable plans. I mean,
that's not the same.
He was sending off ships to go.
I mean, he killed people, but he didn't. He destroyed the flowers. He didn't kill any.
He killed Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't kill the queen.
He was his uncle, right? Or
right? Yeah.
He didn't do anything out of the realm of any character that's been redeemed in other films.
And also anything. Well, I think the big thing was he killed his girlfriend.
Right. Right.
Okay. Doesn't work.
They could have made it work.
Just straight up cold blood murdered her.
Right.
They could have made it work. We've had cold-blooded murderers redeemed in films before.
To be fair, his name is Killmonger.
Right.
Right.
I mean, it's real difficult.
It's not even just killer. It's Killmonger. He's Killmonger. the audience liked him when he showed up. That was a gasp for the audience.
the other thing is he's consistently ranked very high on lists of best MCU villains. And to redeem him, I almost don't want to take his villainy away from him.
Yeah, well, but
how many people did Loki kill? Loki killed a lot of people.
Yeah,
right. A lot of people, especially in the first Avengers movie. And now he's basically a sidekick.
If you're gonna have a fully fledged superhero universe, you can have a little of everything. You can have redeemed villains. You can have antiheroes. You can do that. You know, that being the case,
redeemed villains. I think Killmonger, there's a compelling case to be made that I think his death really, it's one where
I think
it makes sense. It's just the fact that there's such a glut of them. I think
with him, I don't think you could make him the new king, but I think it would have been cool to keep him around.
Right.
And have him if he'd been in this,
You want to go see him in the jail cell,
or they bring him out and there's an advisory period. It's he's Suicide Squad, something, you know, where he's there and he's now working for the good guys, you know. But it's edgy.
I mean, it's a moot point because he's dead. But I think that would have been the thing.
Make him
for
a guy you go see in the ancestor realm, mm-hmm. And he actually gives counsel.
No, he did. He told her to kill everybody.
Right, but I'm saying you could make that an ongoing, recurring thing where mm-hmm. it's a little more nuanced than that.
And that conversation kind of went nowhere either because
it just drove her it made her less likable.
Right,
it was like she's angry. But the thing is, I get it. All of those choices make sense from a certain perspective
that
I think that this movie had, but also just I think that there's a part of like the Black American experience where that's a very real thing about it that they're trying to talk to, not just American necessarily.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of anger in there, and it's valid.
Superhero well, I'm not saying the anger's not valid. I'm saying is that Shuri was one of everyone's favorite character in the original movie, and she didn't do anything in this movie that made you really like think she was awesome.
Well, it's like you can understand her anger and her frustration and the fact that she's like, I don't want to talk about this mysticism stuff. I'm a scientist. Like, mm-hmm. I can get behind that. But the thing is, in the back of my mind, I know that that's not the answer the movie wants to come to.
But then she
We have to go through a thing where she like learns acceptance, and that's, I just want to get to the acceptance part.
But she goes through the mysticism part and it fucks her up further.
Right.
Because she talks to Killmonger. And he's like, you should totally give in to your anger and just kill everybody. And after that, she's all aggro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was tough. I was really excited for this. I just keep coming back. It wasn't a bad movie. Like, I've been to these movies. Like, this wasn't Black Adam.
Oh, it wasn't Eternals.
You know, it wasn't Eternals.
No.
It's just a movie that was...
As far as I know, Eternals is still going on.
Creaking under the weight of a lot of things that they couldn't help.
Well, like, for example, all the things that we're talking about here as weaknesses in that way, they are at least based on real thoughts.
Right.
And things that have weight. And there's choices that lead to the way that you feel watching this. Whereas with, like, Eternals, you're like, this is not doing anything. Like, right, it was pointless.
And that speaks to Ryan Coogler again. He's a very thoughtful, smart filmmaker who...
There's swings that some of them missed, and
yeah, but even the miss
at least
here
swings.
Is because of probably irreconcilable situational factors that you can't control. Like I don't know. It would have been a monumental feat to make this the sort of successful thing that I think maybe we were hoping for.
Hmm.
You know. Everyone involved in the movie wanted to honor Chadwick. Yeah. And I get it. It's like if Josh died, the next show after he died would be, you know, we'd celebrate for a little while.
Right.
But he wouldn't take a week off.
We wouldn't even take a week off.
He'd put the show out.
Yeah.
That's what Josh would have wanted.
That's what Josh would have wanted.
I wouldn't.
And we're not making light of Chadwick's death at all. It was such a horrible thing. Such a great actor. Great human being, well.
Yeah,
that was
a gut punch just because nobody knew what was going on. And, you know.
He did a lot. He packed a lot in a short time. He was a star. But and it shows you how powerful he was as a star. Like he became one of the most popular characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And his film made over $1 billion. And how do you fill that hole? They tried. What I'm saying is they haven't filled the hole. And
I mean, you couldn't take your eyes off of him as Black Panther in any of those movies. I mean, other movies, but either way, there was a, you know, in terms of, like, he was the only guy we had left, too.
Right.
Going into this phase in the movies where he had the gravitas and the swagger and the cool and, you know, all the first wave people are gone and now he's gone and now it's a bunch of TV shows, which isn't bad, but there's not that God presence, that really one person who sort of could be the Avengers leader.
Yeah, I mean, when he comes in Endgame, like, he doesn't have, like, a bunch of dialogue or anything. It's just its presence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about by tying these characters so tightly to these actors.
Yeah.
It's tough because you're starting to lose the characters themselves that are the presence as well. You know, people love T'Challa as a character, and you know, because of Chadwick, but also you can get another actor.
I mean, they recast Rhodey.
Hulk. It's only that one because they didn't like the guy. And the Hulk because they didn't like the guy. But,
right. But it's not a death though. And they weren't, you know, beloved the way we're talking about. And so
eventually it's they're going to have to do something because you're going to run out of characters who can lead these things.
Well, the other thing is that Marvel movies were somewhat composed of what seems to be one of the last generations of movie stars. And we don't have movie stars in the same way. We have famous people. We have famous people. We don't.
I'm going to call Chris Evans a movie star.
He became one.
Yeah, because of Captain America.
You know what? You're right. You're right about that. But there were enough of them. Or at least they could play at being a movie star. I don't know.
I mean, they can't open any other kind of movie. But I mean, it's just they've been very good about casting, and they've been almost all correct. But
yes,
you can't. What they should have done, honestly, is after Endgame was the moment to sort of soft reboot the universe with, let's rethink this. We can't have every character played by only one actor because all the main characters are gonna run out of. Mm-hmm. And they didn't seem to go that way.
So do you go the multiverse route and have?
I don't know. I mean, I don't get paid like.
I'm glad I don't have to solve that problem.
I mean, do you James Bond route where it's just sort of like we're telling a new story and we can keep changing the actors out, but like eventually,
that's what Spider-Man is.
In 10 years. You either have to have rebooted the entire thing or you're down to the dregs.
Yeah.
Character-wise.
Well, I think the multiverse thing would be a way to bring in Michael B. Jordan as like a different version of Killmonger who could then be the Black Panther of this universe or something. Like,
I don't know. It's just an overall feeling. It's not. We don't need to solve this on the show, right. But just I just worry that keeping them all tied to this character or actor to a character is trouble down the line.
It's not trouble down the line. It's trouble now.
Yeah, I think it's trouble now.
It's become trouble now. I mean, who's the leader of the Avengers now?
I don't even know who's on the Avengers now.
But you're doing another Avengers movie, though. Just from the people who exist, who's the leader? Bucky? Falcon? Captain Marvel could do it, but apparently
she's
Falcon, not.
But Falcon doesn't have. He doesn't have, you know.
Captain Marvel could do it, but she's not into it anymore.
And
right?
She's too quirky. About that? The character's too quirky. They made her like this weird.
Yeah,
she doesn't have the stuff.
Photon.
It's trouble.
Yeah,
it's trouble. It was T'Challa. Now he's gone too. And
it's Clint Barton. It's now.
It's Wong. It's Wong.
It's Wong.
It's Wong.
The Wong
group. Wong rules.
It's tough. It's tough. I didn't feel good. Like I left the movie. I didn't feel like, oh man, that was terrible. But I didn't feel like, oh, that was awesome. It was just like, ugh, that was.
Yeah, it was just like, man,
a bummer.
I haven't felt awesome since I got out of. Doctor Strange made me feel awesome.
Yeah,
you Multiverse of Madness, and I did not like the first one. So, I didn't care about it.
I felt awesome walking out of Spider-Man. I didn't walk out of Spider-Man. I saw it on TV because I was.
Our whole family just watched it today. No Way Home. Because my wife has a big Andrew Garfield thing, and I was like,
it was
you know.
COVID. That's why I didn't see it in theater. So I just
Tobey Maguire looks great in that movie.
I can't even think of him as an actor anymore. I just think that's a sociopath. I can't. That's all I think. Lindsay
most
was like,
on screen,
Lindsay was like, did he get canceled? I was like, kind of before that. I think he's just an asshole. I think people just stopped working with him, or he decided to do real estate development and gambling.
No, he's in the new Babylon film. He's still working.
All right. Well, he hadn't for a while, or at least not in the same
Elijah
way.
Wood's kind of creepy.
All right.
These guys got better
actors. He's in the NFTs, though. So,
it's tough to. I mean, it's tough to rate this movie.
You got to go on its merit. So,
yeah.
Did it? I mean, this is how I would approach it. Like, what was it trying to accomplish? Did it accomplish
that's
that? And was it? Yeah, but also, was it enjoyable? Like, did you? Are you going to see it again? What if somebody else asked you, should I go see this?
Oh, man.
I mean, that's...
Well, that's basically what we're doing on this show.
Yeah, so, I know. I'm saying it out loud for myself so I can try to come up with
the
something.
The first movie was a 5. I remember Paul and I think Ryan reviewed that film, and I think we all gave it 5s across the board.
Mm-hmm. That's the first time, so I have no idea.
If the first movie was a 5, this...
I think it's even better now. And back then it was a 5.
If it was a 5 back then, 5 out of 5, I would say this movie is a
3.
Yeah, I was thinking 3.
It's a 3-star movie. It's not a bad movie. It's just a sad movie.
It was weighted down. Like
great performances across the board.
You could have cut 20 minutes out.
You could have cut. You should have cut more than that.
Cut the CIA entirely. Riri didn't need to be in the movie, didn't bring it. I mean, she was great. She was terrific. Yep. But
she needs her own thing.
I'm excited for her show now, but she didn't bring anything really to the film.
Well, also, they could have introduced her. They could have had a cameo. They didn't need to tell her whole fucking origin.
Right, which they're just going to do again.
Right.
And Namor is what he is.
Are people going to get mad at us about this one?
I don't know. But they've gotten mad at us before, and they'll get mad at us again.
I don't even know when they do normally. I was just curious.
People who love the movie will get mad, but the thing is, we're not here, dancing on its grave. We're just...
No.
It's tough. It's
tough. I wanted to go and have fun, and it was a sad thing, which is totally understandable, but is that what this should be?
I mean, I know people who hated this movie. I know people who love this movie. I know people who, like us, were disappointed by the movie because it was a situation that they... found themselves in. That was unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
I don't think you could I don't think it'd be hard to hate the movie.
No.
I didn't hate it. I'm just saying I know someone who does.
No, I know. I'm saying it'd be hard to justify I hated this because it's geez, they were doing the best they could, I think, with what they had, and had to make choices. I don't know.
All right. So that's... Any final thoughts
If we did... headlines, we wouldn't say Imperious Wreck.
Oh, that was such a letdown. I was like, why is he even saying that?
It was like, oh, I almost forgot Imperious Wreck. Just gotta put that in there somewhere.
I was like, wait, was there any context for that at all? That's Latin. None.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It would have been better with no context to say it in a warlike fashion in the middle of one of the battles as opposed to sort of muttering it as he's passing out on the beach.
Yeah, there's the bit in the throne room where he's calling them to, rallying them,
which was cool.
I would say that character though isn't going to use Latin. Period.
Yeah.
It's not the thing.
And it's tough because it's almost the same problem Aquaman have is it's kind of silly under the water. All the things you have to ignore in comics, like how are they talking?
Uh-huh.
You can't ignore it in live action. But they did. But the whole time I'm like, how are they talking?
It's like Aquaman is campy. And it's not super campy.
Also, it's
but
all murky.
It's enough,
everything under the water is murky.
Yeah. He's like, I've brought the sun to my people. And I was like, it's
bring
not,
a bigger
not
sun.
Really. It's kind of...
Get more than one.
Yeah.
You need a key sun.
About,
you need a fill
where
sun.
Are these, where are these people getting their vitamins?
Hey, why were the Atlanteans blue outside but not blue in the water? Did I get that wrong? Did I? Because I was like, well, wait, why are those people not blue? I thought Namor was the only one who wasn't blue. But then someone was like, hey, Atuma. I was like, wait, that dude was definitely blue in Cambridge.
Oh, you know what else they never explained?
No.
Why they didn't survive? Why none of them died when they got stabbed through the chest?
That is the thing that I actually love in action movies, when someone gets stabbed fatally and then some shit happens and they're fine.
Well, that was the whole thing. She was like, oh my God, they survived. And I thought I was waiting for an explanation as to why Okoye could impale them and they would basically heal. And they never said anything. They just moved on past that.
Like the only thing I got is that they're used to living super pressurized underwater.
Well, that's the explanation for why people like Aquaman are strong. But you cut off his hand, it doesn't grow back.
Right.
They never said on the surface level we can't be killed, They just sort of glossed over the fact that it wouldn't have been a big deal if they hadn't made it a big deal.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh my God, I stabbed them and they didn't.
Why do they have
die?
A suit for people to go under?
They did have.
Why do they have rooms that don't have water in them?
Because otherwise it just.
But I mean, why do they have the dive suit to send? Because they never intended for anyone to go down there.
Right.
So why did they make one for just in case?
Just in case.
It was pretty, it was like they made it in the 40s.
Yeah.
It's big and huge.
I don't know.
If Namor comes back, he's not going to be able to fly anymore because he had one of his ankles.
I assume that'll grow back.
That shouldn't. It's not how birds work or fish or
people.
They
all survived being stabbed through the heart.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. He just will fly, he'll just fly crooked.
I think he should have had better slang since he was from the 1500s. Like, you should have had weird phrases that are like, what are you talking about? Like, oh, that's something they used to say back in the 1780s.
It's true. You could have had more fish jokes. Even M'Baku was the only one who was like, fish man. I was like, everyone should make fun of those fish people more.
M'Baku was the only one having fun in this movie.
Yep.
Absolutely. And that's why the audience loved him.
And then when he actually did have something serious to say, like, you're like, oh, he really is thinking about this stuff, and you liked him more.
That always works is the juxtaposition of serious and humor. That always gives each one more weight when you're juxtaposing it. And the only one they gave any humor to was M'Baku.
He was one of the only people who I wanted to watch.
All right, this was a tough one.
Yep.
So it's a bummer, but much better film than Black Adam. Go to, I don't even know what we rated that movie, Paul.
JSA. Black Adam had the JSA stuff, and that was fun in those moments.
That's true. All right.
That cameo that's in it, that's really fun. Not that cameo, that cameo.
What?
The funny cameo in the beginning on the phone, not the cameo at the end that everybody knew was coming.
Right. Okay. So, ifanboy.com, that's where you can find the weekly Pick of the Week show where Josh and I, and sometimes special guests, Paul occasionally comes on again, talk about the week's comics. We also have tons of special edition shows like this one where we tend to review the films of the day. There's been more of them now that the Hollywood has started back up again. We also, Paul and I review the animated films with our buddy Ryan. We do Booksplodes and Talksplodes and the interview shows and graphic novel review shows respectively, or actually reverse that. And there's a lot going on at fanboy.com. All the shows are there. We thank everyone who listened. Just, you know, save your emails. We didn't hate the movie. We just were disappointed. And we don't know what to do with that. And until next time, I'm Connor.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Josh. Thank you.
Every other day, a different city, different time zone. I'll think about money, it's got my mind strong. Solitary's brighter than a rhinestone. Legendary status, talk of five star. Leaving South to France on my way to Wakanda. Living this life and this life wasn't promised. Take my advice and stay far away from drama. Big dog, it come with a price, yeah. Take my advice and stay far away from drama.